Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning and good afternoon, depending on where you are across the globe. And welcome to another episode of the Buddhist Biohacker. We are almost to our 50th episode, which is pretty amazing. We're like two away. I think this is 48 today, I think. We'll see if my count's correct. And I just want to thank everybody for joining and watching, and for all of you joining into the live. I already see you guys coming in now. You can use the live chat box to the right to ask questions, share your comments, stories, anything that you feel called. We love it when you interact with us. And if you're listening later on audio on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, or Google Play, you can absolutely join our forum on miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker. So welcome, everybody. And here we are. It's 11 o'clock and it's Wednesday, Podcast Wednesday. And I am so happy to have Megan Riley back with us today. She's been on a couple of times and I was on her channel yesterday, which you'll see the links on our community page here. But welcome back, Megan.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you back. And you know, I know that you've been on here a few times, but for everybody who's new to the community or just joining in today, why don't you share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure, thank you. My name is Megan Riley. I am a multisensory and a coach. So what I mean by multisensory is I see, hear, feel, taste, and smell. And I work with people who are, so empaths, sensitive, star seeds, indigos, the indigo scouts. Oh, I love you guys so much. All of you in having life be something that we can thrive in. I really struggled for most of my life in pushing against, having to protect against Wi-Fi, have to protect against other people, have to protect against my own energy, have to do so much protection and so much pushing against that. What I discovered in my own healing journey is how to really let those layers disappear and to allow life to come in. And as we generate our own then frequency, as we are the lighthouse for other people, then we teach other people how to do that too.
I love it so much. You know, you bring up a really good point right now about, let's talk about this. I know we're going to talk about some other things, but there's a whole lot about creating walls, psychic shields. And you just said something that just really, it just resonates with so much of my passion, which is we can't have those walls and shields. And, you know, part of what we want to talk about today is kind of the despair and the overwhelm of what's happening. And what an interesting thing you just said, like, how do you allow it? How do you allow it rather than blocking it all out? And still be able to be in a positive space. It's very interesting.
That was good. That was really good. Yeah. Okay, well, first is, I know we used to work together years and years and years ago, and I'm sure many of you have heard the stories. I was thinking about, it was very significant for me. As a sixth planet Scorpio, life can get a little significant. So I remember talking about having to like redo my shields, redo my bubble, redo it. And there was one psychic fair that we did where the plastic chair that I was sitting on actually like broke under me. And that was a big one about redoing our shields and our protection. And we put a lot of like consternation energy into that. I'm really grateful for that part of me. And I'm really grateful for that, the energy that she was, that part of me where she was so certain that she needed to push against the world. And that's how we were gonna love. And that's how we were gonna be psychics. And that's not it at all.
It's so true. And it's so like, it's so the beginning of your journey as a psychic for all of you who are watching. Like, it's the beginning. It's this beautiful beginning of, I understand that there's energy, and I understand there's energy to protect myself from. And you look for all these ways to protect yourself. And it's just not necessary, but it's also the more I felt for me, the more I was like trying to protect or create these walls, it's like the more you attracted it in, you know, it's like you were focused on it and it brought it. So it was like, the more I was like, oh, there's entities and astral parasites and all these things. And it's such a story.
Yes. But it's such a necessary are on the journey. And there are those that are waking up that don't necessarily have to take that path. So if the path that you are on is something where you're just starting, it's not necessary anymore like it was for us. And I think that there are so many now that are laying new pathways and new groundwork where it can do. But as we really learn to take out all the pieces of resonance. So I had resonance of abuse in my field. I had resonance of struggle. I had resonance of victim. And so every time something around me would happen, it would hit off the resonance like a guitar chord. And then it would be active in my energy field, active in my vibration. So this is the gift of doing the shadow work. And this is the gift of clearing things is when someone has a resonance of something that I no longer resonate with, then I can be the stronger energy.
Yes. Oh my God. That's so good. Yes. Yeah. When you release yourself from your own story, suddenly you can hold space for someone else who's in that story.
Yes. And have so much compassion for it because we were there. And we want to embrace who we were, because that's the real power. Like, that's when life gets really magical, when we can embrace who we were, who we are, and where we're going. All three of those, that's the truth. That's when everything starts to line up and just click into place and go. And so pushing against even that version of me that was so good, that just like so struggled in protecting herself and her family. And I was, my WTF lines were really, really.
Yeah. I got it.
We're so strong.
In Chinese space reading, get this, in Chinese space reading, you guys, this line that Megan and I both have is called the blade, and it means that you experienced trauma at a very young age.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How about that?
You guys watch people when they're talking. It's very interesting. If you watch, like, you can watch, like, you know, public figures and things, look at their photos, and you'll see who's been there and who hasn't been there. It's pretty clear.
You know, okay, let's take this for just a second. I did a little tiny bit of Chinese face reading, but it was only because I noticed that some wrinkles were disappearing. And they were the long ones here. And then bitterness around here. Of course, I smoked for 32 years, but bitterness here and the long ones here, that was grief. And they disappeared.
I wonder, I don't really have them so much either.
No, but
That's amazing.
That's so awesome.
I have these right here, which, what is that? It's like anger probably is what I see at it. But I've got these lines right here. Isn't that crazy?
Man, I love you. This is so great.
I have a gal who does this. I got to get her on the show. You're making me think I should get her on the show to talk about this. Oh my God. Okay, I'm making notes. Yeah.
And how things change, like how eye color changes, how the face changes as we heal. As things shift and change, and as we shift and change, how much our face changes, and how the wrinkles and the lines in my hands have changed as well.
Yeah, amazing. You want to know something really weird about the eyes thing? So I definitely have indigo eyes. I've got the really crystal clear, like gray blue eyes. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while they'd be green. And so when I was a kid, young adult, and even into my 20s and early 30s, you know, there was just this, I have green eyes today. And I actually learned that was my liver, you guys. And I was actually, the yellow jaundice was mixing with the blue, and that was what was happening. So when I was really toxic, my eyes were turning green. And so it's been about since 2016. So it's been about 4 years where that's never a thing. Like I've corrected that issue. But isn't that interesting? I mean, the things you learn is like, we accept these things. It's like, sometimes it happens. No, it's not normal. Don't accept it. Don't accept it as your truth, because it's actually telling you something.
Okay. So, how do we, because there's so much energy going on right now of it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be this way, right? And we could talk about this for hours. It shouldn't be this way politically. It shouldn't be this way with the global events. It shouldn't be this way with Black Lives Matter. We shouldn't ever get into this situation. We shouldn't have set up a systemic way to harm human beings. We like all the shouldn'ts that are going on right now that are coming through to clear. Mm-hmm. And then we can all insert our own personal, it shouldn't be this way. But the thing that leads to the thing, we always like, we're grateful for the thing when it finally happens, but we're not grateful for the thing that leads to the thing. So what if we could look at with the same glee and bliss and gratitude, like in tears, gratitude for the thing before the thing?
I love that.
Like there's the I think it was a chicken soup story of the kid who has he wants a pony for Christmas or for his birthday, and he's in a room full of pony poop, and he's playing around, and he's all excited. There's got to be a pony in here somewhere. It's not just mindset. It's not positive thinking, because positive thinking will get us into pushing against. That will get us into protecting ourselves and setting up a bubble. And I wore like expensive things on me that were supposed to reinforce my field, and you know, none of them ever worked. I guess the Stuart Smalley, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone people like me. And it's never true. We never believe. And so it's like the frosting on the turd. It's never freaking true. But if it's there and we're removing the resonance in our field, just one by one, take them out. Clear them, forgive them. We're doing the forgiveness work. And each shitty thing that happens, that we are as excited about those as we are about meeting the love of our life.
Yep.
Why not?
And that's the way to heal. I mean, when I had parasites eating my liver and the frontal lobe of my brain in 2011, I fell in love with them. And I sang to them every day. And I put pictures of them up on my altar. And I told them how grateful I was that they taught me how to take care of myself. And that is how I became parasite free. You know,
wow.
And was there action to take? Sure. I had a packet of yeast on my altar for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years to remind me of how much I love my candida imbalance, candida imbalance. And, you know, that was how I found balance, you know, and that's the call. And I love that you brought up forgiveness, because I actually did a presentation in the OHO Summit about forgiveness practice and talked about the bodhicitta and the bodhisattva vows, because what we have to own, I think, is our responsibility to these systemic issues and our decision to participate in them. Because if you try to untangle, I mean, we're a lot of us are in that place. A lot of you watching and myself and just all of us are trying to untangle from those systems. And the more you untangle, the more you realize it's like next to impossible to untangle, because it's so tangled and deep and entrenched and entrained. And, you know, just to stop shopping at Amazon. I mean, there's books you can't even get except on Amazon. So it's like, no matter what you try to do to leave the system works for us as much as it does against us. And so can you love the system? Because the only way to have sovereignty is to accept responsibility and to make different choices. And that comes with forgiveness, because we have to forgive those that wounded us, whether it's a relationship or a system or a family member or the person who gave you the bird when you were going through a light or whatever it was. You know what I mean? Like you gotta have forgiveness for that.
Yes.
This reminds me of a really funny story. Like about 6 months ago, for some reason, I went through like a 2-week time period where random people just shouted at me for 2 weeks. I was stopped at a stoplight, and somebody rolled down their window at the stoplight and shouted at me about my radio being too loud. And then I was like at the grocery store, and somebody just shouted at me because I was waiting in a line that I guess they didn't want me to wait in. So it was like this really weird thing for 2 weeks, all these people like just shouted at me. And it was really funny. And my husband's like, I've never seen anything like this. Like everyone's just shouting at you. And you know, there are all sorts of layers to why that happened. But I'm just reminded of it in this moment about what you're talking about with forgiveness, because it is about like, can you forgive? There's this need to release this aggression as these traumas are activated on the planet. And so when the trauma is being activated, it's time to ask yourself, what is my responsibility to this aggression that I feel?
Yes. What is my responsibility to the person who resides in the White House?
Yes.
What is my responsibility to marginalizing human beings? What is my responsibility to racism? What is my responsibility? And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. And then, but were you triggered by those?
By
the people yelling at you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I had that moment. I think the first time it happened, it was kind of like, well, that was really weird. But I think by like the fourth or fifth person yelling at me, I was like, I'm a good person. Why are people shouting at me? Right? Like and because of who I am and because of the shadow work I've done, I did ask that question. What is this showing me? What do I need to hear here? And I had to look at my own internal shouting. What wasn't I shouting? and, mm-hmm. and what was being communicated here, and boundaries and so on and so forth, right? Like,
yes, yes. Well, it's so big because the resentment, any complaint that we have is a need not being met, and resentment is just over and over and over. And if I look at on the whole, on the collective, on the, like, you know, 3D world, what's happening is resentment and self betrayal and over and over. And all that's going to lead to is the empath dynamic is what happens is the empath will take on the resentment and the self betrayal and allow it to suppress until there's a moment when they crack. And when they crack is when they go into survival and do and say things in a narcissistic manner that they would never say or do in coming from a place of love. So they crack, boom, and then it's like the power shifts again. So that's what's happening right now. Change is happening. It's just the power shifting. So how do we settle into be around and accept that banks are run by narcissists, the company narcissists, that Bezos, we don't know, you know, but I have certain opinions about that. How is it that we can function in this world and not be in despair and not snap at everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Creativity is finding that second chakra, which is creativity, emotions, sensuality, and sexuality. Finding that second chakra and turning it up. Finding where can I dance? I'm in an empty house right now, right before it sells. And this morning was dancing all the way through the house. Where can I dance? Where can I bask? How is it that I can watch the sunrise? How is it that I can watch the sunset? Tiny things, but the moment that you can go, is like a it's not combating against, it's removing the Jenga pieces that are holding the narcissism in place.
Yes, yes. Well, and I think the cracking moment, the moment you feel like you have to write a violent comment on someone's social media is the seed point of awakening. That is your invitation to awaken. So this is the opportunity for millions of people on this planet to accept this invitation. And that is that with a capital T. And this is what you and I have been through, Megan, and what we talk about here, even on Buddhist Biohacker, is it's okay to crack, but are you going to accept that and see it for what it is? Or are you going to deny the destructive emotion? Because denying that destructive emotion is, in fact, denying your opportunity for self-realization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the victim, savior, aggressor paradigm. So if you're the victim, you cannot stay the victim, just like no one can stay the savior. So if you're the victim, then you're going to go into aggressor. And then the aggressor is then going to go into the victim. But taking that action, whatever that is, and I have done it, and I've done it on a tiny scale, and I've done it on a very large scale. And this is where self-forgiveness is important, but it's not a way off the hook. Taking the action just puts us right back into the cycle, and it just repeats all over again, going and going and going. And then you keep getting the opportunity to take the action or to go in. And it's not taking the shame and turning it in. It's becoming saying, okay, how is it that I can, what would be something totally different here? What I would never do, have a conversation, have a direct conversation, be vulnerable, I know it's an extreme example, but I gave all my furniture away a few months ago. Like, you know, what is it that we can do that would be so opposite of everything that's going on? Because what that does is it shifts the grid and it shifts what's predictable in your behavior and with the people that you're dealing with.
Yes. Yes. And it's a beautiful thing. That moment that you realize that is the beautiful moment. Like, that's the moment where it's like, oh, wait, this doesn't have to feel the way that I've been feeling. You know, mm-hmm. It's liberation. It is liberation because, you know, there's a lot of stuff being thrown around in the social media world, especially. There's a lot of stuff on all sides too. And I've noticed that mm-hmm. there's a lot of folks in the light community that are saying a lot of things. And I think we have to love all of it. And when you love all of it, it no longer, the trigger point's gone. Mm-hmm. That energy's gone. And it's tough because, you know, we were talking before we went live about despair. And I think it's tough. There are definitely moments through this process where I get in that space where I feel overwhelmed or I feel like, oh my God, like how are we going to shift this energy? Or I go out, you know, to a store or something and, you know, I get stressed about what I'm seeing and feeling and the energy of covering the face and all these different things. It's very stressful and it feels overwhelming and you can get caught up in the despair. And I'm curious what you do, Megan. For me, I go back to the bottoms of my feet. I go back to Mother Nature. I go outside and put my hands on a tree and like just remind myself that we have this beautiful, beautiful planet that we chose to come to. And it tends to release a lot of that energy. But I'm curious what you do with that energy, because it's easy, no matter how much work you've done, I think it's still easy to get caught up in like the desperation and the fear and the worry and the anxiety, especially if you're sensitive.
Oh, very much so. And then if we're talking to someone that we care about, and we're talking to someone that we care about and they are in that space, I am so much more likely to go there, because that make the opportunity is that the empath is in the stronger energy, or with the neurolinguistic programming, what we call the frame, keeping the frame. I dance. I hug trees. I get the same oxytocin release from hugging a tree, and I feel a response as well. Animals. I have animals. I work. And working for me is a way to be in someone else's energy in a way that is bringing in the light. I listen to my spiritual teacher. I make love. I eat something amazing. There's so much that is right with the world. There's so much more right than there is wrong. Mm-hmm. And the magnetic pull is so strong to get us into this is wrong, where we don't even see everything that's right. Mm-hmm. I heard a recording yesterday, which is really beautiful. What if this awakening and the global event and everything that's happening, politics, everything that's happening, were a baby, like a newborn baby? You wouldn't look at the baby or talk to the baby as if it shouldn't be. Mm. You would hold it. You would love it. You would get skin to skin and feel all that preciousness. You would smell the hair and just get, you would be completely present in the body, calling all the pieces of the body back together, loving this being that no matter what it was born into a little bit of craziness, but that is not the being's fault. So what's happening right now is not the fault of us. It's not the fault of the awakening. It's not the fault of Gaia. It's not the fault of systemic issues. It's this beginning.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Because it's what's happening is so ancient. And I think that that's missed by a large group right now. Like, I think, don't miss it. Like, this is ancient, ancient energy we're working out, you guys, before the planet even looked the way that it looks today. Like, it just, this is so old. And pointing fingers just creates more division. And the Great Awakening is about unification, not division.
Yes. Yes. Unification that even when we're connected, when we talk about being connected and apply separation. So if there were no separation, if there were no needing to connect, if it just all was connected, then what? I would start looking for signs that it's happening, things are falling apart. I would look for experiences where I connect with someone, where I feel, I don't feel my skin and my personality, I only feel our heart. I would look for signs that the earth is repairing itself. I would look for signs that the new economy is emerging. I would look for signs of what's going right.
Yes. There's a couple great comments. Thank you guys for comments, and please ask your questions too if you have a question for Megan or myself. But we have a comment. Yes, there is so much right. We chose to be here. I know I chose to be here to transmit energy. When I have to go out, I get into a space of sending out love to any and everyone feeling neutrality towards the virus. So that was one of the comments.
Very good. Yes. You can even do like the earth really responds to juicy energy. Now, we're not talking about sending out sexual energy, because that's something very different. But sending out second chakra energy, there's a difference between sex and second chakra energy. And sending that out, everyone and everything responds to that. Even bees, like angry hornets, respond to second chakra energy. You can go out in space of allowing, be in that space of feminine, and whether you're male or passive feminine energy, be in that space of allowing and allowing things to unfold.
Oh no, you froze.
Oh, well, did I?
There you are. There you are. That reminds me, you're talking about this juicy energy. It reminds me of an Osho card. You know, I read the Osho Zen Tarot so much through shadow work, because it's such a great shadow deck as far as like really like nailing you to the wall with your shit. But I read it so much that literally these cards and the messages pop up in my brain. I don't even have the deck anymore. It's like really funny. But there is a card in the Osho Zen Tarot, for as controversial as he is, I still love the messages. And it talks about this pink peach and the juiciness and the yumminess, the peach and the colors of the peach and the energy of the peach. And so that's like, that's popping in my head when you're talking about that juicy sacral chakra. Like it's like this love and this ripeness and this fullness and this tenderness and this power and potency all at the same time. That's what that reminds me of.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. And there's the moment of creation where a bud blooms, right? There's the moment of creation where a seed sprouts. There's that moment of creation where we have a creative idea. There's the moment of creation where two people connect. More time in that, like right there. Those 30 seconds right in there before cells start dividing, before things start to happen, the more time that you can spend in that moment, That is creation. That's the sense of possibility. That's creativity. That's where we become productive. That's where we become, we just let the social things happen. It's gonna still happen, and it needs to happen for some people on their process and on their journey. We can't force them to have, we can't force them to wake up. Mm-hmm. We just let it be. I'm gonna turn our attention to something really amazing.
Yeah.
How do you see that with kids around?
How do I what? See the kids
around? How do you see that with that moment?
You froze. Ask it one more time. It's gonna be okay. Everybody's loving us, and thank you guys for these great comments. So keep them coming. So say it one more time.
So you've got kids around, right? They're like, oh, so juicy, so awesome. And that moment right there, how do you see them in that? Because they're closer and they remember faster.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing having little kids during this time. And for me, how do I even articulate this? You know, it's being present with them, because that creative moment, it comes when you say, get off the electronics and take a break and find something to do. And my little girls go and like decide they're going to create a restaurant and they're going to make food and they're going to serve everybody. And those moments where it's like this birthing of something that didn't exist 5 minutes ago that suddenly lives, you know, it's that moment of when they suddenly weren't going to school and they had to do it at home. And I watched the easefulness that they had with this transition. It was like, it wasn't resiliency. And I have a hard time with everyone saying kids are resilient, because they shouldn't have to be. But what it was like this easefulness of, oh, I know how to do this and I can figure this out. And watching my 7-year-old stepdaughter like understand how to work a Google Hangout and take a class and talk to her friends. And it was like, wow. Like, so what I see with the kids in this time frame is this remembering that there's so much creative energy in the world, and that as adults, we tend to see that diminish. And so for me, that moment, that space with the kids is like this incredible blessing every day to remind me to be in that same moment. You know, it's like where it's like, you know what, like, let's all put everything away, not just you guys, let's all put everything away and let's get out the paints and let's get out our canvases and let's just paint and create something. And what are we going to create? And seeing, you know, them come up with ideas and start to see what they really love, you know, because I don't think we ask even our own kids, you know, well, what is it you really love? Like, what are you really passionate about? What do you really feel excited about? You know, and like my littlest, she like wanted to paint Mr. Bean's teddy. And I think that's the sweetest thing in the world, because she loves the Mr. Bean cartoon. But like, I've never actually noticed if she's watched it or not, didn't know how much she loved it and how much she loved this particular character. And she painted this teddy like in the middle of a big flower garden with the sun. And like, that is the essence of where we should all be, I think, or where, not even should, because I hate using should and need, but where we want to be. We want to be in that flower garden with the sun shining. And so that's what I see and feel with them, is that not only is there a lot of things right with the world, but you can still create rightness in the present moment. And that's what the kids do, you know, that's absolutely what they do.
That's so awesome. I have an evidence that the new pathways are being laid.
Yes.
And evidence,
and that they're the rainbow children. You know, they're here knowing that they were going to be children during this transition, and knowing that they're having the gift of being an adult when this is sort of a little more organized, I guess would be the words. I don't really know. I mean, I think the change will be so long. I don't know that they're going to see like the full golden age in all of its beauty and glory, but maybe because it's happening very quickly. But I think they've come in with this understanding that they are ready to absorb the technology. They are ready to take on all of these changes, and that they're stepping into a reality as an adult that's going to look very different from our reality as adults and very different from our reality as kids too. So, yes. You know, I see the innocence still there, but it's also a reminder to hold that innocence, because I think when we were kids, like I grew up, I lived in Colorado till I was 10, but from 10 to 17, I was in rural Iowa. So we only had four number, like my best friend's phone number was 2819. Like that was her phone number. It was not more than four digits. I'm just telling you guys, my best friend's phone number, 2819. And, you know, so I grew up in this space where we rode bikes and we went out in the woods and played on the trees and created forts and, you know, the Bridge to Terabithia storyline, right? Like you just had your spaces, and it's important for us to create those spaces for them now because they don't always have it. So I try to make sure that I remind them to shut off present day and find the earth in here somewhere, because I think we forget that. It's easy to forget in that generation. Like we remember, but.
Yes. Well, we were outside until the streetlights came on.
And sometimes after, although I got in trouble for doing that.
Right.
What's your favorite? This is a question for you. What is your favorite memory of, like, you know, we're psychics and empaths and sensitives, and we were sensitive kids, right? So it wasn't an easy childhood for either of us. So what's your favorite memory where you have this memory where it's like, oh, I was such a mystic and it was so great in that moment?
When I was right about something. So I knew that the man across the street was having an affair. But I didn't know what an affair was. So I kept saying it because we broadcast what we are most ashamed of. That's just kind of what most people do. And it's like putting it out on a movie projector. So for sensitive kids like us, we just, you know, pick that up. And then I remember when he left the house and they were across the street. And I remember when he left the house and I asked what happened, and I heard he was having an affair. Now, back up, I still didn't know what an affair was. I had been saying that, he's having an affair, he's having an affair, he's having an affair, mostly being gaslighted, something like, you know, you're insane, or you don't know, or, which really started a lifelong, is this okay? Should I say this? Should I not say this kind of thing? So when he left, and the reason that he left was he was having an affair, I was justified. I was right. It was the first time that I really thought, oh, there's something else that I wasn't making up that was going on. Because I've always seen things. I've always seen fairies and things. I've always talked to animals. I always talked to dead people. I had an imaginary friend on that street. You know, all sorts of things happened, but they all could have been explained away. And that one was the first time that it wasn't. I was probably six.
That's amazing. How are your animals doing? Like you asked about my kids, and I think what's your opinion on animal kingdom right now? Where are they at with all this?
They are all over the place. So I have a four-year-old red heeler, and he's for all of his life been super high energy and intense. And since quarantine, he is chill. He doesn't really want to, he'll go a lot. He'll go, but he's not super excited about it. He doesn't demand it. He's lying on the floor behind me right now, just passed out. And he'll pass out for most of the day. And I hear this happening with a lot of people where dogs are more aloof.
Interesting.
Cats, however, are needy, like literally needy and just all over. If I'm, I pray in the mornings and there's a, something that I do every morning. It's called Arti, and it's waving a flame. And when I do that, both cats are boom on me and don't leave. And it doesn't start until Arti. And then they don't leave for hours. If I take a shower, they want to come in the shower stall. It's this wanting to be close and wanting to be in the energy and even like drink it.
Mm.
So fascinating to watch the differences between. And then I hear little kids are similar to cats. Older kids, less so. But little kids are similar to cats where they are just on us, around us. Are you experiencing that?
Oh yeah. Well, and the little ones, especially like it's obvious when they're receiving downloads, like it's insanely obvious. Like our littlest, she'll be up to like 3 a.m. and she's kind of like that anyways. But like she'll just be dancing and singing and joyful and wanting to cuddle and wanting to play. And it's like midnight and it's like, oh my God, like what's going on? I've noticed for sure. And then, you know, all of the kids process differently. So one had lots of fever and flu-like symptoms, you know, ascension symptoms, and really tired and processing a lot of energy. So each one is very different. But yeah, it's been interesting because there's like a lot of different things. And I'm curious with the animals. I heard someone talking about the heart chakras of the planet and how a lot of sacred spaces on the earth are being shut down to people walking on them, right? With the quarantine and just in general, like Uluru, they stopped having people hike on it last year in Australia. Here in Colorado, mm-hmm. Hanging Lake, you have to get permits to go. Like there's things that are happening where the sacred spaces are being protected. And what I heard about the animals was, and this is interesting because it resonated with me, and I'm curious because I haven't explored this topic at all, so I'm curious what you think, is that the animal kingdom are leaving the planet in mass exodus because they have been holding the heart center of the planet, and it is now time for us to do that. It's time for human beings to take on the heart chakra. And I'm just curious, I got to plug in, so I'm going to dip down. Sorry, guys. Good. But I'm curious what you think about that.
You know, I love that. So I left the mountains a month ago, and I had been living in the mountains for 15 years. And during quarantine, I had magical animal experiences. Like very, very close wild animals. And that is not something I don't pursue, getting up close with a bull elk. I do not. And we were several days in a row where he would be where we would be while we were walking. And he would come up very, very close. And my offer is always, I don't want to take anything. It's just love. And it was curious. And then he would go off and he would do his thing. He had a bear come very, very close. And with a dog who should have been, you know, should have gone just apeshit. It was this like draw into our toroidal field. It was this pull in. And there was a month where I didn't leave my house and a month where I didn't see another human being. And to have those with animals was really sweet. Then I had one right before I left. I think it was the day that I moved out. And it was with a cow, moose, and her calf. And the calf was tiny. And I had seen them around where I had been hiking. And most animals respond to sound by leaving. And so I was chanting because I knew that she was probably in the area. And I was chanting. And she came up closer. And then the calf came up closer. And this is not like, this is not good, right? Moose, not good. They have no predators. All they do is just step on your head and you're done. And every year there's someone who, so I'm trying to hide behind a tree and but realizing that Om Namah Shivaya is not making the moose go away. So I have a whistle and I blow the whistle thinking that she'll go away, and she came closer. And so we are, and I kind of have a thought like, should I take a picture? No, this is not picture time. This is not. So we're behind a tree and she's about maybe 3 feet. 3 feet. Wow. And the calf is right there. We're just right there thinking, okay, chanting's not work. The whistle didn't work. It's just a bow of love. And I really need to get to my moving truck. And then she just left.
Wow.
So I could feel that. I can feel if they have been holding the heart, and that the heart is grounding down into us, and that we are able to embody what we haven't been able to embody before, and really bring in Christ consciousness, really bring in that light. I could get that. That resonates. Yeah.
I love hearing that from you, because I was so curious, because I just really haven't like talked about it or anything, but I felt the same way. It was this resonation of like, that kind of makes sense. Like maybe it's time for some of these species to go, and it's sad for those of us who are connected with the animal kingdom. But it's like, huh, like, you know, the dog, you know, the dog totem is unconditional love, and isn't it our turn? You know, I had an interesting experience too. And in fact, it's on my list of many things to write about on my blog and share with you guys. But my husband and I encountered a mountain goat, very similar to what you're talking about. And it was very interesting. We went through this, we were hiking on this trail, and it was like very Jurassic Park, like it, under vines and over things and like hurting ourselves. And my husband fell in the water. I mean, it was all this experience. And I'm used to interdimensional experience in your present day. Like that's just kind of normal for me. But my husband said, so I was feeling that. I was feeling we're in this different space. But my husband said, I feel like we've left the planet. Oh, that's interesting. The animals are talking.
The front door just came open. I love it.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. Well, here comes the guru, because let me tell you. So my husband says, I feel like we've gone to a different planet or something. And I thought, okay, yeah, we have, because I already, yeah. So when he said that, I was like, whoa, like we are really in this space. And we came out into this clearing, and there was this big mountain goat, and man, he just stared at us. And same as you, we were probably 20 feet from him, and he was just staring at us in his big horns. He wasn't a big horn sheep, but he had some pretty solid stuff going on, mountain goat stuff. And he was just staring at us, and I knew we were in the presence of a master. And I started, same thing, I was like, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, like I bow to you, about, you know, like, and he just stared. And I'm not kidding, Megan, we chanted, we took pictures, we talked about the fact that this was likely Bhagavan Nityananda. He's still there. I mean, like, he was there for like 15 minutes, like just staring at us. And I was like, oh my God, like we are receiving this initiation from this goat. And much Whoa. Like you, at some point you're like, dude, I need to get by you. Like, what do we do? And he finally jumped down, but he went just a few yards up the mountain and still stared at us. And I received a massive transmission in that moment, and actually had to pull out my phone. And when I hike, my phone's on airplane mode. Like I don't engage in anything. So I'm like pulling up notes on my phone, trying to like say what's coming. I mean, I got this massive transmission that day. It was really interesting. But
wow.
Yeah. And so when you're talking about this moon, it's interesting because the gurus are almost coming through the animals. And we talked about this with Julie and Taria too at one point, I think, on one of the podcasts. But it's like they're vehicles for the transmissions.
Yes. You know, we were talking before we started. I was spun out a little bit this morning. I get up really early. I get up at 3 and chant and pray and then go for a walk. And I go for a long walk with the dog every morning. And I was like, I didn't get there in the prayer. I was better off than when I had started, but I didn't get there. And so watching the sunrise, and I'm just like, just give me something, just kind of settle me, settle the cortisol. I'm doing all the tricks. I'm doing the power poses and the breath work and all of that stuff. And the sunrise is a phoenix. I think that we get the delivery of the message from the animals, from the sunrises, from random conscience in a conversation, and we just aren't listening for them, or the opportunity is to listen even more. What are the signs that it's coming? What are the signs that this brand new baby of possibility that the world is, what are the signs that it's happening and that it's growing and that it's turning into what it needs?
Gosh, things that you say just open up so much in me. And, you know, I lived on Maui for almost a year, and Maui was a massive healing for me. The island brought so much grace to me. And I mean, that was truly when I faced myself in a way I had not before, no matter how many times I thought I'd already done it. And one of the things about Maui is, and for all of you who've been to Hawaii or any of the islands, you know this, but everything stops at sunset. Everything stops and everyone goes outside and watches the sunset on the ocean, like everywhere. Like there's no, I managed surf stores there. I had 12 surf stores, and it didn't matter what store you were at or what restaurant you were at or if you were working or not. Literally the island stops and you go outside. And it was so amazing because I went from this very intense codependent retail environment in the United States. And not that it's that different on Maui, but one thing that was different was you're working with customers. Literally everyone stops working and goes outside and watches the sunset. It's absolutely beautiful. And you and I live in Colorado, and when you look at a sunset over the mountains, it's unbelievable. And I've often thought to myself, like, why don't we stop?
Yeah.
Why are we not stopping for this? Why do you have to be there to stop? Like, who cares where you are? Stop and watch the sunset. Or like you said, get up. Really weird. I'm not a morning person. And I dream of the day that my spiritual self gets up early and meditates in the morning, and it's just not in my circadian rhythm. It's just not. I'm definitely and I'm not even a late night person anymore because I do love my sleep and need it for my body. But what's funny is I'm much more of a like when I stay up at that 1 a.m. 1 and 2 a.m. if I am awake, which is rare, but if I am, that beautiful time where it's like just spirit and I just sit and commune with the spirits that early. So I'm envious when I hear like, oh, you're up at 3. I'm like, oh, I just wish I could get there. And maybe I think I will one day, but you know, I'm still working through, you know, supporting my organs and they don't like that very much, but that's digressing. The point is, I did wake up at sunrise today. It was really weird. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I was like, why am I awake? This is really weird. And so I was up when you were up this morning and watched the sunrise. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful and peaceful and still, and the accessing of stillness. I really love that. I've been using that in my meditations, group meditations, because that to access stillness, that's what nature gives us, I think, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. That stillness, that moment or creation, the reminder that all things are new, the reminder that life goes on and that there is no death. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and let's remember the brilliant miracle that is this life that we chose to live, you know, whether we're a projection of our higher self just experiencing this journey, like who cares how it's manifested? You're here to experience it. And I think we need to remember that. I love Dr. Zach Bush. I don't know who he is, but my God, he's like an ascended master. I don't know if you guys follow him or if you follow him, Megan, but oh God, brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. And he posted the things he writes. I mean, I don't know who he is, but he's amazing. But he just posted, if you go to it's Zach Bush MD is his Instagram. And he just posted, there's an eyeball is the post. And he talks about this miracle of our cornea and all of the light fragments and all the colors and this miracle of this life that we live. And God, it's so good. It's so, when you talk about juicy, Megan, that's it, man. It's that moment where it's like, and I get goosebumps talking about it because I can feel my cells like just so excited about it because it's such a miracle, the animals and the plants and the sky and the sun and how this all works and how we can breathe and how we can feel like, God, if all we did was realize that, we'd have a different planet.
We would. We will.
We will. Because that's what's happening. And it's just amazing. I want you to share what you offer and how folks can connect with you. And for everybody who's watching too, I was on Megan's channel yesterday, which was such an honor and a treat. And I'm so thankful for that, Megan.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to have that link up in my guest appearances playlist on YouTube. So you'll be able to connect directly over, and I'll post it on the community page, which will also connect directly over to her channel. So you guys can go watch what she's doing over there because it's all yummy stuff also. But I think it's important to share, you know, what you offer and what you do, because it's so much. You have courses and individual sessions and your channel and teachings and writings and all these things. So I just want to give you the space here to share that with everybody who's watching. And thank you guys. So many great, I mean, my gosh, let's see. We have, this is so beautiful. You both are sharing. I really do resonate so much with this. Baking with children is fun too. Absolutely. Beautiful. Somebody said, I can feel and keep myself on the collective wavelength that does come and go. It is a remembrance to what I'm doing. So thank you guys for everything you're sharing. It's just so wonderful. And so yeah, Megan, share you. How do people connect with you? What do you offer? What do you do? What are you up to these days?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And first, just thank you for the listening that you provide. You are so gracious, and it's so beautiful to be with you in any kind of conversation.
I really feel that. I accept that comment so much because I am a Scorpio with Leo in my communication house. So listening was something I had to learn. And now that I'm listening, I can't stop. It's just
you
so-
listen us strong. Listen us. You listen us in a way that we show up even better. And I can see that you do that with everyone that you work with.
Oh, thank you.
So I work really well with empaths, and you may not even know that you're an empath, and you are. If you're in this conversation, I would say you probably are. And I have, it was like the day, I think it was a day in March when it was something like 30 million people lost their jobs. And I took my individual readings and like slashed them. And so what was $200 is now $90. So $90 for an hour. If you just need a quick like check-in or just make sure or something like that. For something longer term, which is shadow work and turning, finding that juiciness or finding your superpower, finding and honing in, like what exactly is it that you are here to do? And then turning that up so that you have a life that reflects that and you have people like say you in that way. Because there's, you know, I have family members people that I know who, no matter what I say, I will never be heard well, right? And then there are other people in my life who, no matter what I say, I will always be heard well. So having our life be that, having our life be that we are heard well, that we are heard like gold, that we have that kind of juicy amazingness and finding purpose and superpowers. So if confidence is a thing, if being in your head is a thing, if body image is a thing, if intuitive coaching is a thing, all of those things. And I think Lisa has all my links. You can find me
up there.
Okay, good. You're so awesome about that. And like for someone who has not been super detail oriented, being a guest on Lisa's show is so clear, where all I have to do is pull up the email and like everything is listed. And it's to go off about something and I come back and it's all right there. For someone like me, it's just so good.
I'm all about conciseness. I've noticed that there's a particular, like if you've had any training in like the yogi community, the Buddhist community, like there's specific communities, it's like you get very concise and succinct. It's an interesting thing, and you can tell if they're not in that. It's like an interesting thing. Like, oh, these people have learned how to be, you can tell, it's like almost you can tell who still has work to do.
Yes. Well, and then being super emotive, like being super emotive when we use conscious language or using hyperbole, first of all, it's a sign of trauma. Second, it's a sign that we're not connected to our body and our emotions. And so the more and more clear that we are, it might seem like we're being terse, which is something I really had to work through. Like, she must not like me if she's not using tons of emojis or something. And I don't mean you, just like on the general.
Yeah.
It's actually an act of love to be that clear.
Well,
and then find me on YouTube. I love YouTube. I started it during quarantine. I got a really clear message to start. And it's been this fun exploration and like stretching out into what makes me comfortable and what's real and what's authentic versus what does everybody else say that we should do? And then Facebook and Instagram, you'll find me.
I love it. And we'll get all of Megan's links in the show notes. And thank you for the kind words. We definitely try, myself and my team, which is really me and my niece, but she's amazing. And she's and I are very similar in an eerie way, but she's also a Virgo, so she's very perfectionist oriented. So between her and I, we've got a good system. So thank you for that, because I know I couldn't do it without her. And I think, you know, I really wanted to create a space here on Buddhist Biohacker that it is like, I just want to be the best at what we're doing. And not in a competitive energy way, but in a quality way. Like I want everyone to want to be part of our community and on the show and everything, because you know what you're going to get, and it's quality over quantity, you know, although it's still a lot of quantity, but it's this quality experience. And so I appreciate what you're saying. And, And for everybody listening, connect in with Megan if you can. She has so much to offer and she's so incredible. And, you know, what's amazing to me is you were so incredible all those years ago. I mean, when we met, I just remember, like, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but just, you just get it. You get it, you see it, you know it, and it's truth with a capital T. It's not BS. Mm. And so that hasn't changed, but there's so much depth there that was there before, but I think it's out, it's roaming. The depth is roaming is what I feel with you. It's like, here it comes. And, you know, I, as a Scorpio, like, you know, cause you're one too, like, we love depth and complexity and layers and all of those things that come along with that. And so I can't tell you how much I love you and how happy I am that we've reconnected. It's just so great.
I love you so much. And this is just so fun and so right.
Yeah. 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 We'll be doing this more for sure, you guys. There's folks asking on the chat. For sure, we'll be doing this more. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. So
thank you, everybody, for your time and your energy. Thank you for investing it in us.
Yes. And thank you for listening. And Megan, thank you for being here. And we'll get something scheduled here in soon with us for sure. We'll figure that out. And thank you to everybody who's been watching and participating. It's such a great audience today. And you guys had so many great like shares. And that's so amazing. Let's keep it going. We have our forum on MeWe. Go to MeWe. Look for the Buddhist Biohacker Forum. I think the link is up on the show notes too. But Megan's on there and I'm on there and we can continue to have these conversations on there in that safe, sacred container, you know? Yeah. So if you guys want to join us over there and share, you know, I'm on there, you know, and as much as I can be. And so we'd love to hear your stories and your thoughts and all those things. So I love
you. Thanks, guys. Love you.
Have a great day, everybody.
Have an amazing day, everybody. Bye.